Good morning. So, Eagles home game. I was here the whole time, didn't go over to New Jersey this morning. It's nice to be here all day. nice to see all of you. Still many that we haven't seen for a little while. Please encourage them and give them a call or check in on them and remind them of how important it is to come together at least once a week. You know, we have other times we get together too, but at least on Sunday morning, you know. But I'm glad you guys are here today. And Gloria usually says it often, but I want to thank the Lord for our worship team. They do a wonderful job, you know. They do. Yeah, and you can. When I tell other pastors especially about how long basically our core worship team has been together, they're blown away. I mean, we're talking, I mean, some of them more than 20 years, but I mean, like the core group's 20 plus years or more together. I mean, it's really amazing. And sometimes we take it for granted. They're just here every time and they're just leading us in worship and praise, you know. It's unusual to have a team like this together for all that time, and that's just, we give God the glory and the praise for that. But let's encourage them, let's thank the Lord for them and pray for them, you know, because it's an important part of the ministry. You know, we do have a longer song service here. I know some of you come in kind of halfway or later through it, not to get here for, because it's a blessing to worship together, you know. It is, in song. You know, there's all sorts of worship. You know, our life should be a living worship and sacrifice to the Lord. But sometimes that time of musical worship is just such a great thing to do together. And it's an integral part of what we do here at First Christian. You know, we spend a lot of time in musical worship. And so pray for our worship team. Encourage them by coming out and joining them. And then sometimes we have special songs like this that, you know, yeah, I told Joe. I said, Joe, you could have written that song. I said, you could have, because I did tell him a while back when things were, you know, after the Lord started to restore his life. I told him you should write a song. You should write a song. But that was a song that brought back a lot of memories. You know, some difficult ones, but also ones that are full of thanksgiving. But you know, you go like this: look what the Lord has done. Praise God, you know. So encourage one another, encourage our worship team, pray for them, and keep coming out to church, invite people out to church. There's a reason that we come together. It's not just, you know, I think I know like a lot of us when I was young and I was, you know, in the religion, you know, I was in Catholic school, I kind of always thought going to church was like going to school and you had to go and God was up to going, are they here today? Taking attendance. And you had to just get in just to get attendance so you didn't get truant or something like that. Well, not until I was born again and came to a knowledge of Christ as my Lord and Savior, then I realized, oh, we should want to be in church. Man, it's like, you know, we had one of the older pastors when I used to come here when I first got saved. He used to say, if we would really fully understand what Jesus done for us, he said, we would crawl on our hands and knees to get to church every time they opened the doors. Not just like a once in a while, I'll grace the church with my presence, you know what I mean? Show up, kind of. No, we couldn't wait. Every time you open the door. So, you know, it's important. It's an important thing that we do, but it's eternal. See, a lot of stuff we do, you know, I know some of you, I know this is not criticism. It's reality because this is why I used to be. Some of you right now are saying, all right, get on to the message because in about an hour and 7 minutes, the Eagles kick off. I got to get on. Yeah. No, I like football. I like old sports. I was a sports addict. I was. But you know what? There's something much more important because those things come and go. Jesus, eternity's forever. And where you spend that eternity is the most important thing. And that's why we do what we do. This is more important than anything else. And I didn't believe this. Again, if my life was always like, yeah. But when you come to know what Jesus has done and why he did it and where we'd be without his love for us, So encourage one another. But thank you for being here today. We're going to have the children go downstairs, but I just want to say one thing. They may want to stay up here because we want to have a ghost story this morning. Ooh. And Josh was looking at me like, what? Wop, wop, wop. You telling ghost stories? All right, kids, why don't you go downstairs and let's bow our heads in prayer as they go down. Father, thank you for this day, for all that we have experienced so far as we prayed, as we read scripture, as we worshiped in song, Lord, as we gathered together to even encourage and exhort one another to love and good works. Thank you most of all for your presence here, because, Lord, if you were not here, I know I wouldn't be here. You promise when two or three gather together in your name, you're in the very midst of us. Thank you. We could do nothing without you, but we can do all things through you who gives us the strength. So, Father, give us the strength this time now as the children go downstairs for them to be instructed in you by your power. Lord, thank you for those that teach them. Give them, Lord, the wisdom and the Holy Spirit power, Lord, and give us, Lord, the same up here as we stay together to open your word. Bless it now to our hearts that we not both just listen to it, but we determine in our hearts to let it make an impact, that we would live it out to glorify you and to let others know about you. In Jesus' name, amen. So yeah, we're in that kind of season, right? Yesterday, a lot of neighborhoods did the trick-or-treat thing before Christmas. I mean, Christmas, yeah. Before Halloween. See, I'm already going to Christmas. I guess. You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't believe me this when I say it, but I didn't like Halloween as a kid. I really didn't. I was not a Halloween person. I didn't like going and asking for things and going, trick-or-treat. I just wasn't me. And then like, you know, because you remember, like, you know, I'm like old, you know. So, like, you know, when we used to go to, like, the parties that people used to have on anything, and we used to all stick our faces in this water to get an apple. Real cool, right? I even back then, I was like, I don't know if I want to do that. After I know that kid. I know where his mouth's been, you know? You know? So I was never a big Halloween. I didn't like dressing up. I mean, you could say I'm just weird. That was me, even as, you know, even way before I knew Jesus, you know. But it is that time of year, and there's all kind of different things, especially television. It's, you know, 24/7 horror stories and stuff like that. And I do want to tell us a ghost story this morning. And I want to talk about a ghost, and it's not Casper. Our ghost is the author of Scripture. Our ghost is the guide. Our ghost is the witness. Our ghost is the deposit, the seal. Our ghost is the revealer, the spirit of truth. Our ghost is the spirit of life. Our ghost is the convictor of sin. Our ghost is the indweller, the intercessor, the comforter, the counselor, the advocate, the spirit of God, the spirit of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm talking about none other than the Holy Ghost. That's an old King James term. We don't use that term much more. Holy Spirit, which we normally will say. But King James calls him the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God. I'm talking about him this morning by God's grace. See, a lot of times we focus, rightly so, as Christians, on our relationship with the Father and getting to know the Father more. And we, by the way, as I say all this, I'll preface it by saying what I know most of you know and what we believe and what the Bible teaches, that there is one God, but he has expressed himself into three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So they are one God. We don't worship many gods. We worship one God, but in three persons. And you know, so we want our relationship with the Father, and we want that relationship with the Son, and we kind of, like, forget sometimes about the Holy Spirit. We do. We talk about him. We quote scripture about him. But we don't really want to say necessarily, like, I want to get to know the Holy Spirit. We don't really hear that too much. We focus on that relationship with the Father and the Son. But we need to know, not only know about, but we've realized what the Holy Spirit does in the life, not only of the believer, but in this world. We would recognize how important our relationship to the Holy Spirit really is. So there's many misconceptions about the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. There's many misconceptions about him, that he's just some kind of impersonal, mystical force and power. He's a promoter, a showstopper with signs and wonders. That's kind of like his thing, you know? That's far from the truth. The Holy Spirit is God. That's God. He's God, just the same as the Father, just the same as the Son. He is God. But he is spirit. Listen, Jesus, the Father, they're spirit too, but Jesus took on the body, which we know about. But there's God is spirit. But the Holy Spirit is holy. as a God. He is set apart from us in his creation. But he's personal. He's not abstract. He's not far off. He's not just an impersonal force. See, some people do. Some people that claim Christianity teach the Holy Spirit as just this power you plug into and, you know. No, he's personal. He is divine. He thinks, the Bible tells us. He knows. As a when I say a person, you know, personality, you know, he's God, but he can be grieved. The Holy Spirit makes intercessions, the Bible says, for us. He helps us, if we will allow him to make decisions in our life according to his will. He's the one who gives us spiritual gifts. He's the one who will direct our steps. If you need some biblical proof, which I always am glad to give, because if I ever preach my opinion, I don't want to ever do that, so throw me out the door. If I say something, I want to be able to back it up by Scripture. In the early, early church, when they were just kind of fresh off Pentecost and just growing in power and all those different things, a few thousand souls, and the church was growing steadily daily as the Holy Spirit was doing that work. There was a couple in the church, and people were selling all kind of things and giving the money to the church, not because they were required to. They just wanted to support one another. And those that had less, they figured, oh, we have some other things so we can support those that need more. And so they were just selling stuff and bringing it to the church. But again, not a requirement. And there was a couple who sold a piece of land, and they said, oh, we're going to just, they conspired amongst themselves. Listen, we're going to give the money to the church to help people, but we're going to say that we gave everything when we only gave part of it. Why they did this, I don't know. So they sold it for whatever they sold it for, and they said, hey, look, we're bringing this to the church. We sold this land. Here it is. Here's everything we got for it. And they held back some for themselves. And Peter looked at them and knew he had the discernment and the understanding to know. He says, you're lying, but he doesn't say just you're lying. He says, you've lied not to human beings, but to God. But to God. You lied to the Holy Spirit. That's what he says. You said the Holy Spirit. You lied to the Holy Spirit. You lied to God. And one after the other, they dropped dead. See, sometimes we look at horror movies and we think, ooh, and we say, oh, I know it's a made-up story, but some of it could be. I heard some people talking just in passing. I wasn't a part of the conversation. I'm trying to remember even where I was when I heard this. And they were talking, about horror movies and stuff like that, and they were talking about watching them, all this stuff. And I heard the one person say, well, I don't like this one. And the guy goes, why? That's a good one. And he goes, because I watch it and I think that could be real. And I forget which one he said. He goes, that one I think is like a little could be real. You know, there's a fascination that many people have with that. But if they ever read their Bibles, they would see that there is a demonic force that is real, but there's a force much greater than the demonic force. It's the force and the power of God. And we don't need some Hollywood-generated movie to kind of try to scare us a little bit. Read some of the words of Scripture, and you want to be appropriately scared, and scared straight to your knees in prayer and to repentance and to receive God and for his forgiveness in your life, so you don't end up in a place that's worse than any horror movie you could ever imagine, and you ain't getting out. Our pastors like to say that because they want to get us scared so we give our... No, it's true. Hell is eternal, and it is horrible, and you cannot escape it once you get there. I don't care how many people pray for you after you're gone, light candles for you, and give money for you, and try to intercede. No, you made it, man. You're there. You can talk about a horror story. Talk about a ghost story, if you will. The Holy Spirit is God. They lied to God. I personally believe they were truly saved people. Ananias and Sapphira, who lied to the Holy Spirit. I believe that when they died, they probably went to heaven, but, you know, they went there like this. Oh. You know, God was keeping his church very pure at that time. I heard a pastor say years ago, He said, if God was working in the church the same way he was working in the book of Acts at the beginning when Ananias and Sapphira died for lying to the Holy Ghost, he said, I could imagine our church worship services. He said, we'd be singing that great hymn, I surrender all, I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. Drop, drop, boom, 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 boom. They'll be just dying because, no, you're not. You didn't even give him a half, let alone all of it, you know? Thank God for grace, amen? How many times are we saying, I God, give God everything, and we're holding it back, aren't we? Not just a portion, we're holding 98%. Not give God two, you know? Wow. So the Holy Spirit knows this stuff because he's personal. He's personal. You can lie to him. He's everywhere, by the way. David, even back in the Old Testament, he said in Psalm 139, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go into the depths, you're there. You're everywhere. I can't escape your spirit. The Holy Spirit, being God, knows everything. He's omniscient. Of course, he's eternal. He does things that only God can do because he's God, like create. The Spirit of God moved upon the waters in creation, the Bible says. The Father came up with the master plan. The Son spoke the word, and the Holy Spirit moved. When he said, let there be light, the Spirit moved, and there was light. The Holy Spirit inspires Scripture. The Holy Spirit reveals the deep things of God that you and I could never, ever understand on our best day with all of our intellect. Can never understand the deep things of God, but the Holy Spirit can reveal those things to us. As God, the Holy Spirit is to be obeyed, relied upon, worshiped, and trusted. And he's very active, the Holy Spirit. He's very active. He's active in the life of the Christian, the believer, the born-again Christian. He is. One of the things he does immediately upon our repentance and our receiving Christ as our Lord and Savior is that same Holy Spirit who is God comes to live within us. I just still don't comprehend that. God. You know, when we talked about Sukkot, right? You talk about, you know, God tabernacling with us. Think about that. God's desire to come to live with us, not only amongst us, but when we receive Jesus as our Lord and Savior, he comes inside. The Holy Ghost comes to live within you. It's crazy to think about, but he does. The Holy Spirit, he helps us to pray. According to Romans 8:26, he intercedes for us in our prayer life. Like, we don't even know how we should pray as we should, the Bible says. But the Holy Spirit intercedes for us, knowing what we need and knowing the will and the mind of the Father. He says, come on, I'll show you how to get to where you need to go. He regenerates us. He baptizes us into the body of Christ. He fills us with joy and peace. He helps us, after we're saved, to grow, to become more like Jesus, that whole process of sanctification. You know, being saved and born again is the first and most important thing, because without that, you'll end up eternally separated from God in hell. But once you're born again, then you need, it's incumbent upon us to want to grow, to become more like Jesus. That's where some of us have a problem, because some of us truly get saved and we're born again. You know, and by the way, you don't say that just by saying a few words. You have to believe in your heart. God knows when you're playing with your mouth. You know, you believe in your heart, and you confess, you know, that he is the Lord and Savior and God. You receive his forgiveness into your life, but when you do that genuinely, you're born again, and that's beautiful, that's wonderful. You are on your way one day to be with him eternally, but you know what? Then we have to live for him down here, and that's where many of us have the problem. You know, for some of us, we're so much like Peter, who I truly believe, when he said to Jesus, I'll die for you, I believe Peter meant that. I don't believe it. I believe that. You know why? Because when they were going to take Jesus and there was this crowd of soldiers to come and get Jesus, he pulls out a sword. You don't do that unless you're ready to go all the way. So I believe he was ready to die. But when he had to live for him, when they said, "You're one of his disciples," he went, "Oh, I don't know him." Couldn't live for him. That's where we have this trouble. See, the Holy Ghost will give us the power, if we let him, to live a Christian life, to keep us away from the desires of our flesh, because we want to shrink back with our flesh because we just want everything just to be comfortable for us. We love our flesh. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to die to ourself, to live unto God, so that we become more like Jesus Christ. See, that's one of the desires of the Holy Spirit, to make us more like Jesus. And he will fill us with his power. See, we get this, you know, excited about, we see, oh, this demonic force and his power. It's our power. It ain't got no power like the power of God. And God, Holy Spirit will give you power that is greater than anything that this world or other worlds can ever conjure up. He'll fill you with his power if you give and yield yourself over to him. As I said, giving you spiritual gifts that are good not just for your entertainment or others' entertainment. They're good for building up the body of Christ. See, the Holy Spirit works that way. He's active, as I was saying. He's God, and he's in the world today. As I said, this is a ghost story because we're talking about the Holy Ghost, and he's not only working in the church and in the believers. He's working in the world. He's working in the world. It's the Holy Spirit that's doing this. Hey, it's the Holy Spirit who convicts people of their sin. It's the Holy Spirit who brings them to a knowledge of this fact that they need to know that they are on their way to hell, that they've sinned against the Holy God, which we all have. There's no person that is righteous. The Bible's clear on that, and we know that in ourselves anyway. We all know that we've fallen short. But it's the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin. But then at the same time, he's convicting us. He's convincing us that we need a Savior, and he points us to who? Jesus, because the Holy Spirit, even though he's God, can't save us. It had to be the Son who died, who gave his life for us, who paid the penalty. But that's what the Holy Spirit does. He says, listen, you're a sinner. Yes, you're on your way to hell, but look! Look at what Jesus has done. You know, the Holy Spirit does that important work. And he helps when we go out to be a witness, because guess what? With all of whatever we could bring to the table, and I thank the Lord for those. There's some of us amongst us who really do incredible work of evangelism to people and sharing the good news. But you all know that work would be nothing if it wasn't the Holy Spirit going before you. If he wasn't knocking on the doors of hearts, if he wasn't opening ears, if he wasn't setting up those godly encounters, you could do all kind of stuff. And I've seen people, I got so many stories I could tell sometimes, but I just remember going into a pastor who will remain nameless, who's no longer in the area and hasn't been for a long time, so don't try to guess who it is. Invited a bunch of us pastors to a hotel to meet this evangelist who was coming into the area and wanted to meet all the pastors, and we're like, cool, let's go meet the guy. Well, about 30 seconds into the walking in the door, I was like, uh-oh. I could tell this ain't going to be good. Just got the sense of it, but also just, you know. And when the dude came up after all the fanfare and they had some music and so, when he got up, he started telling us about he's coming here to save the whole city because they got a formula, man. Oh, yeah. They got the magic words. And we have 100% success rate. I'm like, oh. Dude. I probably actually said that. Dude, what are you about? He said, yeah, we'll teach your people. They'll go out and everywhere they go, everybody will get saved. I said, I wanted to yell, liar. See, if there was something that we could do, that there was a magic formula, you know what we would do if we really love people? You know, this is how I would evangelize. I would go out and I'd grab people like this. And I'd put them in a chokehold. I say, say it. Say the words. Say the magic words. And they would say it eventually because I'd be like, really, you know, getting ready to pass. It doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. But we go out with the power of God, and he gives us these godly encounters that as we share Christ, not only with our words, but with our deeds, in his power, as the Holy Spirit sovereignly moves in their life, we see people coming to Christ. Sometimes it's just planting seeds. And sometimes it's true. The seeds get eaten up by the enemy. Sometimes it's people choke them out because they don't really want to care and hear the message. But sometimes somebody else will come by and water those seeds. And sometimes we'll go out thinking we're all that because somebody said, I want to receive Christ. But we forgot that like years ago, somebody broke up the ground, planted seeds, watered it, planted seeds again, watered it again, planted seeds again, watered it. And we just happen to be there the time they're growing. It's like, praise God. But it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. It's all the work of the Holy Spirit. You know what else the Holy Spirit does in the world? And if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on around the world today, you need to open your Bibles and you need to open the we don't do newspapers anymore. Open your, you know, feeds, your news feeds, whatever you, however you get the news today, right? And you got to read because the headlines marching with what's going on and by what Jesus said is going to happen, shortly before his return is coming alive. But the only reason that it hasn't all come to fruition yet is because the Holy Spirit, working in and through the church, is restraining the Antichrist and the lawless spirit that is in the world. That's the only reason. Because somebody said to me, what else has to happen? I said, we got to get out of here first. Then it'll all come to fruition in God's timing. Because the Holy Spirit is the restrainer. And he's restraining through the church. Talk about power. I mean, I look at some of this stuff in the Middle East, and I'm thankful. I the president did what he did. I'm thankful that hostages came home. Thankful. That's all this stuff. But I look at it and say, ain't nothing going to happen until we're out of here. Then you want to see some craziness? You think it's crazy now? Wait till the restrainer is removed. Could you imagine what this world's going to be like when the restraining power of the Holy Spirit is removed from this world? We saw our world change in 5 years with the COVID and all the rest of that nonsense, right? Imagine now, that's what the Holy Spirit here. Imagine what it's like when he's out of here with the church. Now, he can never, so somebody doesn't write me letters later. Holy Spirit can never leave. Now, I understand that, but he's restraining through the church. When we're removed, that restraining force is going to be removed. We are the salt and the light by the power of the Holy Spirit to this world today. And soon as that goes, and that's why we have to be salty Christians. Because if we don't have saltiness, you know what we're good for? Nothing. To get to be thrown out in the street and trampled on by people. That's why we have to have the light shine and not put under a bushel, because what good is our light if we're hiding it? And again, it's not our light, it's his light. It's not our salt, it's his salt. But that's the power that's keeping this world from completely going to that time of tribulation and hell on earth. It'll come, it'll happen, but while we're here, we have to be doing the work, and that's what the Holy Spirit wants to do through our church. I say our church, yes, here, but our church, the body of Christ. So I'm going to give you the scripture, because I haven't given you too many scriptures this morning, and we're almost done, so stay with me a few more minutes. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. The Spirit, the Holy Spirit, searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows the person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? So we know what we're thinking. But in the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. But see, the Holy Spirit knows both. He knows what we're thinking better than we do, and he knows what God's will in mind is for our life. And that's why we need to say, Holy Spirit, we need you to lead me and guide me and direct me to the will of God. See, no amount of human knowledge can replace the Holy Spirit's teaching. Peter was just a fisherman, but when Ananias and Sapphira came in, he went, you're lying. How do you know that? The Holy Spirit told him. Holy Spirit told him. See, because the Holy Spirit is so personal, we can have a fellowship, a relationship really with him in that way. He's active. We can rely on his power in our lives. And that's what the world needs to see today. And that's how we're going to kind of bring the core of the message around right now. The power of the Holy Spirit. See, as the third person of the Trinity, he is God and has all the powers, the Father and the Son. As I said, he spoke the creation. Well, he didn't speak. He hovered upon the waters and brought everything to bear. But in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was still there because he's God. He was always there. Now, he dealt differently with people in the Old Testament versus the New Testament. And in the Old Testament, he used to just come upon people to give them the power they need, needed. I always like to think about Samson, and I don't ever picture him as a muscular dude. I really don't. I think he was just kind of average looking. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, man, he could do all sorts of crazy things, right? Power that the Holy Spirit gave him. David, when he was a little boy, and God had was going to send Samuel to anoint him as the king. You know what it says? I actually have it here. It's 1 Samuel 16. Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, David, in the presence of his brothers. And from that day, the Spirit of the Lord came upon David in power. David could never do what he did, the exploits, except by the power of God in his life. See, and what happened in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come upon them, but the Holy Spirit would leave them because Saul, who was the king before David, who, you know, he was the people's choice. It wasn't God's choice. And when the Holy Spirit came upon Saul, Saul was able to do well until he went in disobedience and the Holy Spirit was removed from him. And that's why David cried in his psalm of repentance, Lord, don't take your Spirit from me. Create in me that clean heart. Renew the right spirit in me. But see, in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes, and he doesn't just come upon us. He does actually, when you're not a believer yet, when I was lost in my sin, and I was, you know, an atheist and a crazy person and all that kind of stuff, not believing in God and being a fool, the Holy Spirit at some point came upon me and began to let me know that I needed something more. There's something else there, and that's where it led me to believe. If you're out there, I want to know the truth. That was the Holy Spirit. I couldn't come up with that on my own. But when I finally, after months of reading the Bible and praying and so forth, and kind of, and I believed in my heart, and I said, I believe Jesus is my Savior, and I repented of my sins, then that same Holy Spirit that came upon me to direct me that way came to live within me. And the Bible says he comes to stay as a permanent guide, a permanent teacher, a permanent seal, a permanent comforter. But he comes to give us power. Power. And the main reason for the power he wants to give us is to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. And when the Holy Spirit did come upon them, it wasn't quiet. You've heard the story before, right? So having ghost stories this morning, right? Well, when the Holy Ghost came upon the church, right, to fill them, Acts chapter 2, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. You know why? So they can go out from that place and they can witness to all the people around them to the glorious things of God. And when the people were like, what's going on here? Then Peter was able to get up under the power of the Holy Spirit and bring a message where 3,000 souls got saved. Power. No power of the enemy could stop the power of God. So during his earthly ministry, Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit in him. Now, he was fully God. He never stopped being God. But when he took on flesh, if you will, he set aside his deity, and he lived as a man, but he lived by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know why he did that? One of the reasons? To show us that we can do it too, and that we need it. If Jesus, the man Jesus, right, the man Jesus, needed the Holy Spirit's power, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit's power? See, it was the Spirit of God who led Jesus after he was baptized into the wilderness. The Spirit drove him, and there he was tempted by the devil. It was the Holy Spirit that gave him the ability to withstand that temptation. It was real temptation. But he was able to withstand it by the power of the Holy Spirit living and working in him. So the Holy Spirit lived in Jesus Christ. We need the Holy Spirit in us today. So he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Subsequently, the apostles in the day of Pentecost and all the disciples were filled with the Holy Spirit. And he's still here today. So you may be asking at this point, well, what about me? This is an interesting ghost story because some of you never heard this ghost story before. Some of you maybe only heard parts of it before. And you say, well, it's cool, but what does it mean to me today? Well, what it means to you today is that same power that formed the heavens and the earth, the same power that was the breath of life, the same power that God enabled all the Old Testament saints to do those marvelous things that he called them to do. Name which one you want to name. They all had the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives to do what God called them to do. That same power that rose Jesus from the dead, that same power that came upon the church on the day of Pentecost, that same power is still available today. It's still available. There's nothing that has stopped. So how can I have that power? Well, first and foremost, you must be born again. If you haven't been with us on Thursday night, we are going through an amazing series called Authentic Christianity. Join us if you can. If you can't get here, join in on Zoom. You missed a lot, but you can still catch up. And I keep emphasizing over and over and over again, to be an authentic Christian doesn't mean you go to church, or doesn't mean you belong to a denomination or your side. An authentic Christian means you must be born again. And if you are born again, then the Holy Spirit comes to live within you, and he will stay with you, and he will seal you, and you will go back with him to heaven one day. But understand something. He left us here for more than just getting saved. He left us here to be his witnesses, to live in power to a world that is dying. So you can have the power of God in you, but because of the way we are living, we render that power useless. See, the Holy Spirit wants to work through us, but he also, as I said, can be quenched. He can be grieved. You wonder why don't I feel this way? Why don't I do it? Why don't I have this discernment? Why don't I do it? Well, because maybe you have to look in the mirror like I do, like we all do. This is what Paul said, and listen to these words. I'm probably going to miss a few of them. I want to read kind of most of them. But in Ephesians chapter 5, what he said to the church way back then, and he says to us today, so be careful how you live. He's talking to Christians, born again, to remind them of how they are supposed to live. Be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine. And you could add anything else to that, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, making music to the Lord in your hearts, and give thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, in the world at that time, you know, especially the people in Ephesus, because they were caught up in all kind of, you know, mysticism and false, you know, demonic arts, all that kind of stuff. And he said, but they used to believe, one of the things they used to do is they used to believe they worshiped their pagan gods their way, and their way was to get drunk and have orgies. And there's how they connected with their God. Okay, all right. And they thought when they connected to God that way, that was the way, in that drunken state. So Paul would say to them, don't be drunk anymore with wine or anything else. You want to connect with God the right way? Be filled with his Spirit. That's what we want to be intoxicated with, if I can use that term in the right way. Not to be drunk with wine, but to be filled with the presence of his power, the Holy Spirit. See, the question is, are we still living like the fool? He says, don't live like fools. Are you as a Christian living like a fool? Joe admitted this morning he was living like a fool. I know every one of us could probably testify to some degree how we maybe still are living like a fool. And you could say, I'm born again. I know I am, but I'm living like a fool. Okay, time to stop living like a fool. Time to be filled. See, and being filled with the Spirit is, in the context of Paul's, you know, teaching there, is different than when you're saved. He comes in, and that's different. He comes in to save you. Being filled is now the power that is within us, that we have subjugated to the lowest recesses because of our foolish and our sinful and rebellious actions. And we're saying, Lord, now I'm repenting of that. Because the Bible says as Christians, if we say we have not sinned, we're lying. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then when we are restored into right relationship with him, then that same Holy Spirit power that is still within us will begin to fill us. Fill us. Pastor Joe, you don't know. All of a sudden, I don't want to get drunk anymore. Pastor, you don't know. All of a sudden, I don't need my XYZ pill anymore, you know. Pastor Joe, you don't know. I'm not watching Netflix as much anymore. I'm actually reading my Bible. I know everybody's watching the Philly Mob thing now on Netflix, right? You're all watching it, right? That's okay. You can watch this, but you're watching that to the exclusion of the Holy Spirit of God, the presence of Him in your life, the power of God to not only be able to talk to people, but to live a life before them that makes them say, oh, there's something there. There's something that they have that I don't. The living water we talked about a week ago or 2 weeks ago, right? The living water, the Holy Spirit that comes from within us. We have it so bottled up, but if we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us as we now repent of our sin and our idolatries and our adulteries and everything else that we got, all those things in our life, and we just say, Lord, we're done with this. As Joe said, Lord, I'm really ready now to live for you, to serve you. The Holy Spirit begins to flow like a fountain of living waters. But when you're grieving and quenching Him, He'll just go way back down. So we have to confess our sin. We have to repent of our sin. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to walk in the Spirit, to be led by the Spirit, to live by the Spirit, to keep in step with the Spirit. Two more scriptures and we're going to close. Romans 8. See, the power of the life-giving Spirit, the Holy Spirit, frees us from the power of sin that leads to death. Yes, eternal death if you're not born again, but also when you're a Christian, the death that Joe was talking about earlier, that death of your marriage, the death of your finances, the death of your peace, the death of your health, the death of all that stuff, the death of your witness. Oh, I'm a Christian. Yeah, really? I don't want that. I don't want to be broke and messed up. I mean, is that what Jesus brings into your life? No. But that's what we represent many times, right? See, so the power of the life-giving Spirit frees us from the power of sin that leads to death. See, Romans 8, 6, the mind that is governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit, again, we're going to have a ghost story, by the Holy Ghost is life and peace. So we could trade in our fear and our timidity for power, love, and a sound mind. We can always be singing in our hearts psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, Ephesians 19. And then you say, well, what does this power look like? Really, Pastor Joe, what does it really look like? Well, can God use you like James and John wanted to call down fire from heaven? Well, I guess if He's going to do that miracle, He would, but that's not really what He called us to do. He didn't call us to come down and just eviscerate our enemies and say, Lord, all of our enemies, whoo, whoo, get them, God, get them, get them, get them. He told us to pray for our enemies. Oh, Lord, I don't want to. He called us to love our enemies. Lord, I want to hate them. I don't want to love them. Forgive them. No way. No way. See, that takes real power, doesn't it? It's easy to pull the trigger on a gun. It's easy to go online and smear somebody's reputation by putting out all kind of crap, right? Right? It's easy to do those things, to get back at even. That's easy. That's no power in that. The power to forgive, the power to love, the power to pray for them, the power to help them, only can be available to us by the power that comes from God Himself, because our flesh will never do that. Only by yielding our wills to God in submission and obedience to Him and His Word and the Holy Spirit can we be people that bring the true power into the world, because that's what God's desire is. God is not, when we look at what's going to happen to those who reject God and we talk about eternal hell, that should not bring us any kind of joy. Like, hey, people going to hell. Yeah. No, because God is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. He doesn't want anybody to go to hell. He'll let them go if that's where they want to go. He'll let them go, but it grieves God. I know it does. It grieves Him. So we know what the power we want? The power to love, the power to live, the power to restore people into a right relationship with God. As that love chapter tells us, 1 Corinthians 13, the power to love, the power to be patient, because people get on our nerves, don't they? The power to be kind, the power not to be jealous, the power not to boast, the power not to be proud, the power not to be rude, the power not to be demanding our own way, or to be irritable. The power not to keep records of wrongs with everybody. I got them. I got all checkboxes, The power not to rejoice when injustices happen. But differently, the power to rejoice in truth. The power that never gives up on somebody. How many times do we want to write people off? I'm done with them. The power that never gives up on people. The power that never loses faith in what God can do. The power that is always hopeful. The power that endures in every circumstance. That is what's available. That's our ghost story today. It's a Holy Ghost story. He's available to you. He's here right now in this room. I know. You might not be able to see him. I don't see him. I know he's here. You know why? I believe God's word. And he's here. He's the one that's dealing with your hearts right now. If you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, he is now upon you, coming upon you. He's telling you, he's helping you to understand what these words of my mouth were coming out, the words of Scripture. He's making them come alive to you. He wants you to surrender your life. He wants you to turn away from your sin and your way and your abilities and your strength and your know-it-all, because we all know it all. No, you don't. We don't. He wants you to turn from all of that stuff. He even wants you to return from your religion you grew up with. It was just religion. He wants you to turn from every human aspect and instinct that tells you blah, 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 because it all comes in. The devil doesn't care how well you live your life. If he keeps you from heaven and Jesus, that's all he cares about. He wants you to turn away from all of that and turn today to him. You may be here in this room. You may be watching in because, you know, we record these and send them out. Whatever it is, now is your time. The Holy Spirit's here. He wants you to repent of your sin, turn away from your sin, and turn to Jesus Christ and receive by faith his work on the cross for you. And if you are a child of God and you've been born again, you know what he's saying to you now? What are you waiting for, man? You want power? You want the power that will change this world? You say, but Pastor Joe, you already said the whole world's going to go down anyway. Yeah, but I know. But listen, there's people that are waiting to hear the gospel and see the gospel that need to hear it from you. Well, Pastor Joe, you go tell them. I can, but he's telling me to tell you so that we all can go. Right? That's part of my job, to equip us to go live it in power. They're going to look at you and say, there's something different. There's going to be a power that the enemy cannot destroy or quench. It's a power that is greater than any power known to this world or any other world. And it's the power to bring people to salvation in Christ, to love them enough to tell them that truth. Walk in that power, church. Repent of your sin. Repent of our sin. And walk in his power as the times are growing to a close for this age of grace. Now is the time. Father, thank you. Thank you that the ghost story you want to hear is about the Holy Ghost, Lord. That's the message for us. His work in us and through us, his work in creation, his work in the Old and the New Testament, his work on the believer and the unbeliever alike, and the power that he promised to give us to renew our lives. The same resurrection power that rose Jesus from the dead lives within every child of God. And that's a real power, and it's a power to love, to forgive, to restore, a power to live a life that Jesus has left us to live, to show a world that that power is greater than any of the demonic powers that are out there. Mm-hmm. But Lord, many times we as the church have not used the power of the Holy Ghost because, Lord, we have grieved him and quenched him. We've gone our own way. We've walked in rebellion. We've walked in our own stuff, our own comforts, our own wills. Father, it's time to repent. It's time to turn back. You say repentance starts in the house of God. Before we want to see others saved, it has to start here. Father, let us come as a church, as individuals, as a corporate church, to repent of our sin, meaning it, Lord God. Not like Ananias and Sapphira, where they just said, nah, we're going to say some words and pretend. No, real repentance. And if we can't today, then we're going to come to you and ask you, Father, help us. We want to do what's right. Lord, give me that heart and spirit of repentance. Give me, Lord God, that godly, Lord God, chastening that will bring me to that place of repentance, to help me to repent fully with my heart, that I'm not playing the hypocrite any longer, Lord God. that I'm going to fully repent of my sin. And then, Lord God, I'm going to allow your Holy Spirit to fill me once again, like I maybe was once before. And I want to be filled again so that I can live a life for you and live a life before others that testifies of your love. And Father, again, if there's anyone with us or listening in who has never received Christ as the Lord and Savior, that knows nothing about the true power, then Father, I pray today they would repent and turn from their sin. If they're here, that they want to come forward and we'll pray together. If they're at home, they can bow their heads and hearts and now and repent of their sin and say to you that they believe you, Jesus, to be their Messiah, to be the Savior of their life, that you died on the cross for them, that you shed your blood as the payment in full for their sin, and they receive the precious blood of Jesus to wash their sin away. And as they turn from their sin and turn to you, they know that you have washed their sin, that you have forgiven them, you've come to live within them by the power of the Holy Ghost. And now they have an opportunity to live their life, to tell others about you. So Lord, we thank you, we praise you, we give you glory. Let your word not return void, in Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.